Lloyd Bernard, a sports writer with Sports 24, has written a book called Miracle Men, How Rusty Springboks Won the World Cup. And I don't know how many of us actually believed, rather than hoped, at the start of the Rugby World Cup in Japan, that South Africa would win the Rugby World Cup, the William Webb Ellis Trophy, for the third time as the tournament went on. So for many of us, hope began to change to conviction. But it was something that Rassie Erasmus and his management team and his playing team believed in. And perhaps without that belief, they wouldn't have been holding up the William Webb Ellis Trophy after beating England in the final. Remember that stunning try by Cheslin Kolbe to cap it all off. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
Very well, and yourself?
Not too bad, thank you. Can't complain.
Rassie took over in 2018, and what, how many months later, 14, 15 months later, he was leading South Africa to the World Cup. I think he probably, and you've had many chats with him, and he would have, I'm sure, confided in you to a degree, he probably, maybe he wasn't 100% certain, but he, and it's obvious through the research that he did and the plans that he made and the way he got players and everybody on board, that he genuinely believed that it could be done.
Yeah, I think he did, John. You know, it's very easy to forget just how far South Africa had sunk in terms of the Springboks, under those two unfortunate years under Alistair. I think when Rassie took over, obviously a coach with undeniable pedigree, they came in. But I mean, even for the kind of best coach in the world, I think, like you say, the general feeling in the public was that there was too much to do in too short a space of time. I think that win over the All Blacks in Wellington in 2018, the tears in Wellington, was a big moment where, maybe as a rugby nation and perhaps within that group as well, was the first time that there was a real belief that something special could happen in the months that followed.
Okay, let's go through some of the building blocks of that victory, because it was... And perhaps planning is the first, the second, the third, and the last word.
The victory in Wellington in 2018?
No, the victory in Japan.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Planning is key, John. It's a common theme throughout the book and throughout all the conversations that you have with anyone who was involved in that setup. Just the incredible level of the detail in the planning, from the training ground to the team meetings, in terms of selection, in terms of transformation, having everyone on the same page from the very beginning in terms of playing style, everyone understanding their roles within that setup, planning for kind of every eventuality on and off the field was a hallmark of Rassie's leadership throughout. And it's certainly a common theme throughout those 18 months that he was in charge.
He knew what he wanted to do, and he by and large knew the people that he needed to have him help, to have help him do it.
Absolutely, yeah, and that applies to the players and the management. You know, if you look at the individual players in that team, you know, you had guys like Frans Steyn playing a limited role on the field, but such a big presence off the field, someone who had been there and done it before at a World Cup. You had a guy like Skalk Brits who came in and offered something from a leadership management perspective, who also wasn't going to play a hell of a lot of games at the tournament itself, but had such a crucial role to play. And the way he rubbed off on the people around him. And then the way Rassie assembled that management team as well, it's the same thing, really identifying the key things that the Springbok team needed to do to achieve, and then getting the right personnel to make that happen, and then ensuring that everyone involved in that picture was on exactly the same page in terms of what the plan was moving forward.
And his commitment to Siya Kolisi as the Rugby World Cup captain, and he made that commitment fairly early on, and you'll remember better than I because you're more closely connected with the rugby world than I am, but through my listeners, I know that there was a lot of questioning about that. The captain needs to be able to justify his place on form, and we're not sure that Siya can justify his place on form. There's a fairly common fairly common comment that people were making. And yet, in retrospect, it was perhaps the most important decision that he made in many respects.
you know, maybe those question marks were there in the public space, and they certainly were. You know, there were suggestions that it was a political appointment when it was first made. But the big thing with Sia really was the injury that happened in Super Rugby 2019. And as the World Cup was getting closer and closer, you know, we had that shortened rugby championship in 2019, and he missed all of it. He just wasn't fit and he couldn't play. And that was the real concern over his match fitness more than his form. But, you know, in terms of him being the right guy for the job, if you speak to anyone who's ever played with Sia, and certainly the people who were around him at the Springbok setup, at the Stormers setup, I don't think there were any of those doubts and question marks that you've just described that may have existed in a public space. He's a guy who, you know, through performance has commanded respect, through the way he treats the people around him has commanded respect. And, you know, it's a leadership style that was so inclusive as well. I mean, throughout the whole thing, Sia never claimed to know it all. He acknowledged that there were very senior players around him who had been in leadership positions before, massive Springbok players who he would depend on from the very beginning of his captaincy all the way through to the end. And I think because of that leadership style, he had absolutely everybody involved in that setup on his side the whole way through.
It's something that works so successfully for South Africa at the Rugby World Cup in Japan that people like Eddie Jones are trying to change it. The way that Russie used the bench, the way the kind of people he selected for the bench, the sort of impact they had when they came on. And now Eddie is kind of saying, you know, let's have fewer players. Let's not have a full front row on the bench and so on. That again was an incredibly important part of South Africa's victory through the tournament.
Absolutely. And it came from just, you know, identifying the style of rugby that South Africa was going to play, kind of empty the tank. You know, we've got a history of our forwards being our powerhouse. I mean, we have these monstrous, incredibly physical, mobile forwards that are capable of really changing games by themselves. And if you look at the lock situation, you know, South Africa had four world-class locks in their match day 23, that probably any one of those players would have started in any other of the sides of the Rugby World Cup. And you know, to accommodate all of those guys in one match day squad and have the kind of flexibility that came with having a seasoned head like Frans Steyn on the bench has rightly been called a masterstroke in the months that have followed.
Yeah, that's the book, Miracle Men, How Russie Springboks Run the World Cup. And Lloyd has had access to all of the significant players and very good access. And so you get an extraordinarily detailed sense of how it is that what increasingly through the tournament began to seem not only possible, but probable, if not certain, how that came to pass. Just before I say goodbye, we've got the Rugby Championship coming up towards the end of the month in Australia. We haven't had played, well, the domestic-based players haven't played any competitive rugby. The overseas players have lots of injuries. Hearing today that Luit Jager is going to have surgery or has had surgery out for 6 months. Andre Pollard out for a long time. Eben Etzebeth is struggling. So what would, and we got a new coach. Jacques Nienaber has been coach of the Springboks for 8 months without having had an opportunity to play a game. And he's going to have to wait. They've got to go, surely, but they need to box smart about how they go and how they manage expectations once they're there?
Yeah, we've actually just had a statement come through about 20 minutes ago, John, confirming the good news that rugby's back from the 3rd of October. There's going to be almost a Springbok trial match, it looks like, with a kind of Springbok green versus Springbok gold team, and 60 players drafted. Deon Davids will coach one side and Zondile Stick will coach the other one. And in that statement, it says that no final decision has been taken on Rugby Championship yet. It's one of those situations where there's no real positive outcome for SA Rugby, because if they send a team over there that's watered down, they run the risk of reputational damage, and as you say, a group of players that's incredibly undercooked runs the risk of being on the receiving end of some rather one-sided results in that tournament. And it's certainly not what what you would expect from a world championship outfit. But if they, you know, if they stay and they don't run the risk of injuries and that reputational damage, then they do lose that injection of cash that comes with playing in the rugby championship. So it's kind of a lose-lose. I'm not sure which way they're going to go. I actually wrote a column that I published today suggesting that, you know, surely logic must prevail and it makes more sense to stay at home and just skip this one.
We need rugby before the Lions tour next year. We've got to start playing some competitive rugby.
Yeah, but there will be. There's going to be a full domestic competition running over the festive season this year. And I just think it makes more sense to have our best players playing in that competition at home, minimizing the travel and getting them back up to some kind of premium condition, as opposed to playing a couple of games at home, then putting them on a plane and sending them over, then quarantining. So there's a lot to consider.
Lloyd Bernard, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Author of Miracle Men, How Russie Springboks Won the World Cup, in all good butch book... I need to go on holiday. In all good bookshops near you and far from you.